You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married. Well, it's good to talk to you in person again. I've been gone for 2.5 weeks, and I missed you.
Well, I missed you too. But now you're back, and we can just experience that continuing coffee conversation.
Yes. Well, lots and lots of things have happened recently, and it's kind of a crazy time. There's so many stories out there, but one that I find really, really interesting and I want to talk to you about is that Kamala Harris from California announced her run for the presidency. And in her speech, she said that she wants to have free Medicare for all.
Well, you know, she's not the only one. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had said pretty much the same thing. But I don't know how much they understand about the dynamics of medical care in the first place, or Medicare, or insurance-based medical care, but I loved your article in America Out Loud on all of this giving out of free medical care. And since I don't know too much about that, I thought maybe you could share some of your thoughts with me.
Well, there's really a lot to be said, and I certainly am no expert on it. But let's talk from a common sense point of view. And by the way, the article is on America Out Loud called Medicare for All, Be Afraid. And be afraid really is how I feel about it. Be really afraid of that kind of promise for a couple of reasons. So let's just start with just common sense things. I'm not a doctor, but I know a little bit about handling money, and I know that the Medicare system as we currently have it, just with seniors on it, is on very shaky ground, because the amount of money that people put in to Medicare and the amount of money that they end up taking out are vastly different. So they actually take out more than they put in. So we are on shaky ground with Medicare right now. And now you think that you're going to include all the people in the United States and the illegals on Medicare and have the government run it. So let's break that down. First of all, putting everybody on Medicare would cost trillions of dollars. If you doubled the tax on every single person paying tax in the United States right now, we would not be close to paying just for the medical. Forget all the other bills we have. We would not be close to paying for the medical.
Yeah, but Linda, don't forget about these horrible billionaires. Okay, because now what they're doing is they're looking for, and according to Pocahontas, who is apparently also back into the run for the presidency, all these horrible billionaires and people making over $50 billion, and by the way, $50 million. And by the way, you notice how she makes just under $50 million. But we're just going to take all that money from those horrible multimillionaires and billionaires, and that's what's going to pay for this.
You
system.
Mean those people that employ all kinds of people, and the people that have you know, had their blood, sweat, and tears into making a living for themselves? There are not enough people in this country that make over $50 million a year to make a dent in this kind of trillions of dollars bill.
Even if you tax them at 70 to 90% like the French do.
So let's continue this just logical conversation about Medicare for All. So now you've made Medicare for All, and everybody has it available. Where are the doctors going to be? So the incentive for somebody to go to school and make a whole lot of money being a doctor is gone, because now the government's going to dictate what you make and who you see and how much you get. Plus, you're going to have to do a whole bunch of paperwork to get that money.
Well, you know, and as a person that's gone through some of the medical school myself, and I know, of course, a lot of doctors, because that's who we hire, you know, in our forensic death investigations team, you're looking at a young man or woman graduating from medical school, completing residency, and already somewhere between $350,000 and $400,000 in debt before they even begin a standard medical practice and before they begin even earning $1. And by the way, all those medical loans or school loans all come at a cost because you have to pay a percentage, right? I mean, there's interest on all these loans.
Sure. So who is going to be motivated to be a physician in that kind of a marketplace? Because being a physician in the past has always been a free enterprise. It's part of our capitalist system where you make the effort, you pay the money, you do the work, you go through the residency, and you become a physician, you put your shingle out, and you can make a nice living. Now, most doctors have to become members of groups because of the way the government has restructured everything for them. And with this proposal for Medicare for All, they basically are going to be told how much they can make. Listen, physicians are amongst our brightest people in this country, right? They are smart people, which is why they're physicians. Guess what? There's a lot of other things that they can do besides being a physician, and they will choose to do something else where they can make money, where they can, you know, just be rewarded for their efforts.
Well, you know, and I'm going to agree very much with you. And of course, we have some personal experiences in that area. So first of all, talk about the government basically getting into the shorts of the doctor.
Sure.
Okay, because now if they get into these, into this one source or single payer source type of universal medical care, first of all, they're not going to make any money at all. That's number one. Number two, they have to tell these doctors whose patients they're going to accept and who what patients they're not going to accept. They may even tell them in an area that is saturated with doctors, no, you can't work there. You can only work at another location. You want to talk about the government getting involved in your life and your private practice, where I feel they have no right to do any of those things. To me, that is socialism
it's
not communism.
Well, and you know, just not to get off the subject, but the Nazis have the theory that if you control people's medical, you actually control the people. And Ronald Reagan, when he was still a Democrat in 1961, he talked about exactly what you just said, that the government would then start controlling everything. And it is on the path to socialism. These people want to control everything that we do and everything that we eat and everything that, you know, how our medical care is and if we can have a Second Amendment. They want to control everything. And I'm hoping that Americans are not fooled by this. This is not a good thing. Medicare for All is a very bad thing. And by the way, why should we all who are working pay for all the people that aren't working that and the people that are illegal? Medical treatment is not a right. Medical treatment is given by somebody that has freely, of their own free will, gone to school to learn how to treat you. They cannot be forced to treat you. So it's not a right. I totally agree with the premise that we help people who can't help themselves. So those are that are severely ill, those that are mentally handicapped, people that have no way to help themselves. We need to find a way to help them. But there's a whole lot of freeloaders on this system, and illegals should not even be on the system. This will fall apart under its own weight immediately. And what will happen is we will have many less doctors. We will have more physician's assistants who are not qualified in the way that a doctor is to do the same things. We will lower our medical care, which will cost people health issues, and in fact, their very lives in some cases. This is a really bad plan, and people cannot be fooled by this, thinking that they're going to get something free. This is not free. This will cost you good medical care. It will cost you money. It will just break the system.
Well, boy, you've raised so many issues that resonate with me. Number one, you know, we live down in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, part time of the year. And we get outstanding medical care when we're down there. And who are our physicians? Who are our dentists? They are people, by and large, who have doctors and dentists who have fled the tyranny of the HMOs and the IPOs, and they have gone down to Mexico where they have found, in other countries like Costa Rica, where they found that they can have thriving practices, make all the money that they ever wanted to make, have lower taxes and do the type of medicine that they got into medical school for. And that's number one. Number two, a huge issue with me that we are experiencing now as we get older and now we're on Medicare is that we are paying far more money for far less medical services, including trying to find a physician that will take Medicare, because there's so few physicians now that want to accept Medicare because they can't make any money.
So if all the doctors have only Medicare people to serve and the government is running the program, then they're not going to want to do that job. It is a job. Let's be real about it. Secondly, I don't know if you can name me. Here's a trick question for you. Can you name me any government program that is run super well, that is not corrupt, that is not overspent, that does not have so much red tape in it that you can't see coming and going from it? What government program works well?
Well, first of all, there are no government programs or no government agencies that I can think of whatsoever that do anything right. Let's take a look at the two government programs that are the closest to this subject tonight. Okay, number one, the Veterans Administration, the VA. How have they been doing with our poor veterans? Absolutely lousy. And when you have horrible, not just bad, but horrible and negligent doctors and medical staff, we can't even fire them. Okay? Can't get rid of any of them. We had to pose a special legislation under the Trump administration to even begin to get rid of them. Next, let's take a look at how poorly Health and Human Services have been doing. You want to talk about fraud in the governmental system and a complete fraud on our tax base. Let's take a look at that one. So those are two great examples. One, the next one, which touches on all senior citizens, is look how they have cheated us on our Social Security, where that was supposed to be a program for people that put into Social Security all of their lives, and look at how, and nobody was ever supposed to steal from the coffers of Social Security, of that account, and look how they flagrantly stolen all the money out of Social Security, where it looks like in the future, not in the far distant future, but in the near future, that program is going to go bankrupt.
Yeah. Well, none of us can want the government telling us and telling our doctor what we can do and how our doctor can treat us. My medical care is my business between me and my doctor. I don't want the government involved in it. And as I said, Ron, people should be very, very afraid of this. Anybody who thinks that this is some sort of panacea and we're going to get free health care is going to be very sadly surprised, and it will be very hard to put that genie back in the bottle once we let it out. It's not going to be a good thing.
But then now we go, back full circle, back to politics and back to people like Bernie Sanders, Kamala Harris, Ocasio-Cortez, who just bleep out this stuff to the uninformed, ignorant masses, of which, unfortunately, many are voters. And they don't understand these issues. What they see in front of them is free stuff. And they don't care what happens to the program when there is free stuff, first of all, because they're not putting into the system, right? They have no sweat equity in this. They have no idea of what the costs are. Number two, which are, as you said, just unimaginable in the tens of trillions of dollars. And of course, the United States is already owing trillions of dollars right now, primarily because of what the Obama administration created in that 8-year legacy. But the next thing is that they don't understand how they actually diminish the medical services that they themselves want. And then when we get into this more socialistic medicine, who is going to receive medical care and who is not? And all we have to do is go to our close northern neighbor of Canada and ask them, ask the Canadians, how's that worked out for you?
Well, I mean, when they want something done and they want it done right away, they come down to the United States and get service. that, you know, we could do so many other things. And I know President Trump has wanted to do it in this country, where we keep our insurers, we take a lot of these regulations off, we have insurers be able to insure across state lines, we make it competitive, it will drive the prices down, it will we can give a potpourri of services to people. Do you want this kind of plan? Do you want this much service? What do you want? I mean, people should be able to pick. The government needs to completely stay out of people's health care. I just think it would be the worst thing that we have really almost ever done. And again, go back to the Nazi playbook. It should really scare people that this is how they felt, that this is the way that you control people. You take over their medical care, and then you have control over the people.
And you know, let me just say one thing, because again, you have people that are out there in the United States, unfortunately, including a lot of students and people in their 30s that have no context of the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, where we had the Nazi regime. They look at the Nazi regime as they were just white supremacists and anti-Semites, and they killed a lot of Jews. They need to remember what the acronym in German, Nazi, N-A-Z-I, stand for, and it was National Socialism. National, the key word, socialism. And so when you talk about the Nazi playbook, right, where the government had control over everybody's lives, they drew upon the background of the people like Vladimir Lenin, who was a communist. Okay, and so, you know, that's how that came about. But the bottom line was the end result with regards to National Socialism. They completely controlled the public. And as you said correctly, if you control the public's health care, you control the public. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
As former law enforcement officers, we know that your life and the lives of those you love and work with can change in an instant when you encounter an active shooter.
Unfortunately, in today's world of uncertainty, encountering an armed active shooter can have deadly consequences. That's why the key to survival is training and preparedness.
And that's why we want to invite our listeners to seriously consider taking our Response to Active Shooter training course.
Violence can happen to you anytime and anywhere, and when you least expect it. Having a response and survival plan and engaging it can be the difference between life and death for you or a family member.
Our Response to Active Shooter courses are customized for the corporate, school, church, restaurant, and small business environment at a reasonable budget that fits your needs.
So don't put this life-saving training off because you don't think it will ever happen to you. We call those people victims.
Our Response to Active Shooter instructors are all nationally renowned tactical law enforcement experts who will guide you through the life-saving protocols you'll need to survive an active shooter event.
So be a victor, not a victim. Go to ResponseToActiveShooter.com to learn more today.
Remember, that's all one word, ResponseToActiveShooter.com, and be safe out there.
We're back with a little bit of fresh coffee here, and I want to go to another subject that is near and dear to my heart, something that I harp on all the time, and I'm sure you know that, is the border wall. And we're still at a standstill in this country between Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and President Trump about the border wall. And, you know, President Trump had taken the step of reopening the government for a period of time in order to get some cooperation, which was promised, and there's no cooperation whatsoever. As far as I'm concerned, he can make a
executive decision.
And just do it and get it done because it needs to be done. But what really kind of frosts my socks on this, Ron, is that Nancy Pelosi has been invited down to the border by the Border Patrol to see what's really happening down there, and she just won't go. I mean, it's blinders on. Let's not look at anything but the politics about this. But yet, just recently, we had the biggest fentanyl drug bust in the history of fentanyl drug busts down in Nogales, Arizona, which was 114 kilograms of fentanyl that came across the border in a cucumber truck, and the dogs sniffed it out. And along with that, there was about 650 pounds of methamphetamines.
Which is an incredible amount of both drugs.
Right. Okay. So if you take 1 kilogram of fentanyl,
which is about 2.2 to 2.5 pounds.
Okay. That can kill 1 million people. So 114 kilograms came across. Is this not a weapon of mass destruction?
Well, you know, it's so interesting that you bring that term up, weapon of mass destruction, because the very first drug czar under George W. Bush, the elder, was Bill Bennett. And Bill Bennett recently said that fentanyl could be weaponized as a missile of mass destruction, so to speak. I could just see someone atomizing, in other words, taking the fentanyl and wrapping it in some C4 and...
Well, let's not give them any ideas.
You know, and so to speak, you know, in a less restrictive way, interspersing that into a large crowd of people and killing tens of thousands of people at the same time. A weapon of mass destruction that would look like what happened at 9/11 was child's play. I don't think the American public really understand how lethal these minute, very, very small grains of salt of fentanyl would kill somebody. And we've had serious problems with our law enforcement narcotics officers coming in contact with fentanyl and suffering serious medical injuries as a result of it.
And by the way, this, as I understand it, was a Chinese product. So somehow it got to Mexico and came through our southern border there. And the kid that was driving the truck, of course, he's under arrest, but still... This, we cannot have this crossing our border into the country. And when you build a wall that blocks all of the places that people are coming across, it allows us to have more security at the places that are the funnel points, which would be the ports. So Ron, when our politicians won't go down and look at this problem, they won't hear this problem, they have their hands over their ears, their hands over their eyes, and it's about politics. What I think about, and what every American should be thinking about, is how many deaths drugs like this will cause in this country. How many people will lose their children? How many people will lose their wives, their husbands, their cousins, their sisters, their brothers? This is no joke. This stuff is coming over the border, and we need to stop it. And that includes not just the fentanyl, but all of the drugs that come over the border.
Well, you're exactly right. We already have a huge problem with prescription medication, where people are self-medicating, and they're dying by that. Not only are they becoming addicted to opioid drugs, but they're dying because of it. And the thing that just really bothers me, and I know we're going to have a conversation because of the border wall in talking about other things that are extremely important to you, like, you know, child sex trafficking, which is a huge problem. But the thing, Linda, that really bothers the heck out of me is people like Nancy Pelosi, people like Chuck Schumer, people like Ocasio-Cortez, people like Beto O'Rourke, these people that are Kamala Harris, all these people that are running for president on the Democratic ticket, I don't care what they tell the American people in truth, they could care less about the American people, because this is about, this whole border wall thing is about two things. Number one, their hatred for Donald Trump and denying him
a win right,
with regards to the border wall, which was his primary promise to the American people. And by the way, the safety and security of the United States of America and Americans is the President of the United States' first priority. That's number one. They want to deny him that. And then number two, this is about power. They could care less about drugs. They could care less about Americans dying. They could care less about these evil, purely evil child sex trafficking rings, of which we have a huge problem in the state of Texas. This is about the power of getting illegal aliens across the border and giving them voting rights, because they want to be the party of power in America. And after these evil people pass away or leave government, our children will have to deal with these deadly issues.
Absolutely.
I can't tell you how firmly I hate this mindset and I despise these people.
Well, and they're not only taking that win from President Trump, they're taking it from all of us who voted for him to accomplish this. And that is just the height of hypocrisy. And that is what makes me really angry. And having been somebody, Ron, that has seen children that have been trafficked in my life, seen children that have been abused, I have never forgotten it. And even though it was many, many years ago, it's something that you never forget. And I challenge Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. These are 11-year-old little girls that have been raped and abused 30, 40 times a day, and it happens for years to them. They're all different ages. They're not just girls. They're boys as well.
And they're young. By the way, they're also young women. Okay?
And they're young women.
In their late
they could be 18,
teens,
19,
early,
sure.
Early 20s.
These are people that are being horribly trafficked. And the thing is that our politicians will not even recognize this problem. They, in fact, I was watching a news program, Ron, and they were making fun of people talking about this problem as though this doesn't happen. When President Trump mentioned that people might be being tied up and
blindfolded
in the cars, they made fun of him. Are you kidding me? Talk to any Border Patrol or DHS person involved in child trafficking. They will tell you that these things happen on a daily basis. And to have them deny it is just so angering to me.
Well, and it's anti-American, and it's a lie to the American people that costs people their lives. It costs them their real lives, and it costs them their psychological welfare and well-being, which destroys their lives later on. There are so many suicides that take place, chronic depression that take place when a person has been subjected to repeated rapes as a young child, going on into their 20s.
Of course, okay? if
they're not murdered later on. And so for people to make fun of it and the mainstream media forwarding it and engaging in some of the fun and the laughing when they try to say that President Trump watched some sort of movie and took those scenes out of that movie. Let me tell you something about movies that are sort of reality-based movies. They take the scenes from the movie out of actual things that happen in life. And so anybody that's ever known anybody that's been kidnapped, and of course you and I, having been in law enforcement, have investigated these cases, of course they tie these women up. Of course they put blindfolds on them. Of course they put duct tape over their mouth. How else do you kidnap someone in an urban environment? Okay, so it just angers me to no end that they try to portray this as being fake.
But you don't see them talking to these people, engaging with these people, trying to learn what the truth is. They just ignore it as though it doesn't happen. And that's what is so angering about this. You know, I still stand by and will say that we need the wall. I hope that President Trump makes an executive order for the wall. And I hope that we can't build it fast enough. Right now we have caravan after caravan coming across. And by the way, in the current caravan that is coming up through Mexico, which is actually this time rather than heading to Southern California, is heading to Texas, they have found at least three children who were being sex trafficked through there.
Oh, but this is, by the way, this is just not these three kids.
Of course not.
This is a daily occurrence.
Yes.
that is happening.
And by the way, the sex trafficking goes two ways. It doesn't just come up through Mexico to Texas or California or to America. It goes the other way, where girls are kidnapped from America and taken through Mexico to other places. It's not a one-way street. We need to stop that and put a roadblock there so that this can't happen.
And let's talk about, it's not only to me the walls, it's an entire program, this entire dysfunctional immigration system with these ridiculous policies, these archaic policies that continue to allow this to happen. If they would fix the legislation, if they would fix these laws so there weren't these loopholes, so that would encourage people to come across the border to so-called seek asylum, we wouldn't have nearly the problem that we have right now, whether there's a wall there or not. Well, and let me just say one more thing. You're mentioning all these caravans continuing to come across the border. Yes, that's true, but don't forget that right now we are backed up over 900,000 asylum and immigration cases. Oh, over 900,000. Almost a million, and we don't have anywhere near the judges to deal with these cases if they worked 24/7 and we had 200 or 300 more judges. They would still take them months and years to clear these cases, all the while why these people continue to breach our borders.
Right. And it's more and more. What we just found, over 100 Chinese women who were brought in, who were, you know, 9 months pregnant, who were ready to have babies. And, you know, I mean, that's another form. Now that then their babies are American citizens, we need to change that rule as well.
Well, that's another loophole. And this is all done intentionally.
Of course.
Because and I blame both sides, because none of this is rocket science. And I'm so angry with the Republicans because they had 2 years of a majority in the Congress with a president of the United States that was a Republican conservative, and they did absolutely nothing. And how dare they get into this situation and cause the American public to be in this situation today? I blame both of them. They're all worthless except for a couple of heroes out there. Okay? And they live in a bubble in a totally different, entitled, rich, elite environment. Hey, can I switch gears with you out of the border wall issue and talk about something that's been taking the air out of the room for the last few days? And that is this ridiculous Virginia Governor Ralph Northam and this outrage over the blackface that he apparently wore, painted himself up black during a medical school party and standing next to a guy with a KKK robe. And yes, that's bad. Here's where I'm going with this, okay? Because I just find this whole thing is curious, right?
Curious.
So, first of all, I've got outside of the obvious racial issues here, and I don't deny that, okay? So I'm not trying to mitigate that. I'm not trying to belittle it. I just want to talk about the optics on all the different sides with regards to this thing and this idiot governor and the misplaced outrage. That's what I want to talk about. So this section of our coffee conversation is about the misplaced outrage, if I was going to put a subtitle on it. So here's this guy 34 years ago when he's like 20, 22 years old and he's a med student, and he goes to the party, and I have to now use the word allegedly, because before he apologized for wearing a black face during a party. And I guess after 34 years and him running for governor, and by the way, he was just elected a year ago, so he's only 1 year into his term. So someone found a picture in his yearbook where he's got a black face on and he's standing allegedly next to a guy in a KKK thing. So he gets that and he's all chagrined about it. And so he goes on television and makes a formal apology. Okay, but guess what? 2 days later, it's like he's unapologizing, and now he's saying, well, I've determined it wasn't me. Okay, so my first question as a forensic investigator is, listen, I know it's 34 years ago, but I think that if I painted myself, had a black face, and I was standing next to a guy in a KKK robe at a party, I think I would remember that, okay? I would know whether it was me or not. So that's the first issue. But the second issue is, he's also the governor that was forwarding this late-term abortion recently passed legislation that I watched him sign on television, and it wasn't him. Okay, so maybe he wasn't the guy that signed it.
The New York governor signed one.
Cuomo did, but he has advancing legislation.
He's advancing
okay,
it,
so
absolutely.
I apologize.
And it failed, but that's not the point. The point is he's advancing it and wanting women to be able to get abortions all the way to term, and even basically after that viable baby is out of the womb.
Which is, to me and you, infanticide.
Absolutely.
So here's going back to my theme about the misplaced outrage. Why are we outraged about a 22-year-old idiot, okay, that paints his face black, allegedly? And that's 34 years ago. Can you imagine all the stupid things that you did 34 years ago? I know I'm sure I did a bunch of that stuff. I'll probably never be able to run for office, okay? They probably shoot me down in 10 minutes. But other than that, why not be outraged by this legislation that creates infanticide, the murder of little children, okay? And where is the outrage over black racists who are overtly racist, such as Louis Farrakhan, who is racist against white people and a complete anti-Semite and black nationalist? Why aren't we outraged when he goes on television in public and doubles down on his racism? Or the Reverend Al Sharpton that I have written extensively about in one of my chapters on my book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, where he was talking about the killing of white people. Where's the outrage there?
Well, this is not what the news media focuses on. They focus on a 34-year-old picture. But the real story should be the infanticide that is being promoted here. And by the way, the number of women that have late-term abortions is more than the number of people in this country per year that are murdered by guns.
And you know what? Again, so that we don't have a misunderstanding in our coffee conversation, racism is racism, and it's all bad. Why not call it what it is, but call everybody out that expresses racist comments or does something that indicates that they might be a racist?
Infanticide far surpasses that for me, Ron.
Oh, no, me too.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Ron, I want to say one last thing about the border crossing, which is completely different. So just recently, there was three people that had illegally crossed the border into Texas carrying a duffel bag. And when Border Patrol approached them, they dropped the bag and ran. Inside that bag was a three-month-old baby tiger, heavily drugged, that was being brought into the country illegally. Now, mind you, there's only about 4,000 tigers left in the wild. So, I mean, this is really tragic on a lot of fronts. Luckily, that little tiger was rescued, and he's now in a wildlife preserve in Texas. And they have introduced him to a little buddy who's a little white tiger about his same age, and they've become fast friends, and they're getting to play around in the preserve.
You know, that's interesting, because where do you find tigers, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah,
my point.
Yeah, not in Mexico.
Well, not in Mexico, you don't. So how did that tiger, just like, you know, the fentanyl and everything else, how are these different things getting to our border? Obviously through Mexico, but how are they getting through, you know, through our border?
Well, they're going to through other porous places, and they know that that southern border is the most porous entry into the United States. They're probably going to sell it to either somebody rich who wanted a tiger, or to a zoo, or who knows. But I'm really, really glad that the Border Patrol was able to stop this from happening. In fact, that little tiger's life was very much in danger, because they had really over-drugged it, and it probably would have lost its life had they not found it when they found it. And the photos of seeing that little tiger all kind of jammed up in that duffel bag were very sad, but I'm very happy that now, you know, he's running around and has some good area to play in.
Well, I thought you and I could have an interesting conversation in regards to something that's in your wheelhouse rather than my wheelhouse, and that's business. And I thought it might be fun for you and I to compare and contrast a very successful commercial enterprise such as Walmart against the United States government and the different federal agencies, and how each of these entities are doing.
Okay. Well, Walmart is really, it's almost its own country at this point, I think. At Walmart, Americans spend $36 million every hour of every day.
So 24/7, they're spending about $36 million.
Yep. Works out to $20,928 of profit every minute. And Walmart will sell more from January 1st to about St. Patrick's Day than Target will sell all year.
And that's just the first quarter, right?
Yes.
So that's a quarterly figure.
They're bigger than Home Depot, Kroger, Target, Sears, Costco, Kmart combined. So they really have something good going here. They are the largest company in the history of the world, employing 1.6 million people, and is the largest private employer. And most people that work at Walmart, and I'm not just saying in the United States, because they are in other countries,
right,
do not speak English.
And we have a Walmart in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, as a matter of fact. So they're all over the place. And we actually have a friend in Mexico who's a venture capitalist, and his job is to build shopping centers internationally where Walmart is the anchor store.
Huh? Right. And Walmart now sells more food than Kroger's and Safeway combined. And they did this in only 15 years. They actually sell more food now than any other store in the entire world.
So you know what, Linda? If Walmart employees actually constituted an army, they would be the second largest army in the world, just behind China.
Yep. They've got a huge amount of people. 7.2 billion different purchasing transactions will happen in a Walmart store. And by the way, Earth's population is about 6.5 billion. So more than one per person in the world. But, you know, it's interesting when I look at the profits that Walmart's making, I'm thinking, you know, hey, maybe they could, like, loan us that $5.7 billion for the wall.
By the way, what do you call it? Full disclosure, you and I are Walmart shoppers, only we're dressed slightly better.
Well, I certainly don't wear what some people do wear in Walmarts.
And weren't you at a Walmart one night where the lady in front of you in the checkout stand was wearing a parrot? I mean, a real parrot.
And she had parrot poop down her back. So
Wonderful.
Let's not go there.
So with that being said, let me do the compare and contrast with several agencies in the United States government. And one of our very favorite agencies is the United States Post Office. Okay, so the United States Post Office was established in 1775, okay, when we had our first colonial flag. And they've had, as my count, 234 years to get it right, but it's going bankrupt. It's failing. Okay, Social Security was established in 1935, and you think after almost 75 years, the United States government would have gotten Social Security right? Wrong. It's going bankrupt. Fannie Mae, okay, and that's not your aunt, was established in 1938, and they had 71 years to get Fannie Mae right. Wrong. It's going bankrupt. The war on poverty started in 1964. Who was the president of the United States in 1964, Linda? Tick, tick,
tick. In 1964?
Tick, tick, tick.
I don't know.
Tick. President Johnson.
Okay.
And you'd have had 45 years to get the war on poverty right. They've spent over $1 trillion of our tax money, and it is an abject failure.
Well, we keep bringing people that are in poverty into the United States. How is that going to help?
And don't forget, under President Johnson, it was called the Great Society. And I'm back to our first coffee conversation, and that is Medicare and Medicaid, which was established in 1965. You would have think after 44 years, you'd get it right. Wrong. Going broke. Freddie Mae, a friend of mine. No,
Go
actually,
Freddie.
No friend of ours. Okay, established in 1970. You would think after almost 40 years, they'd get it right. No, it's going broke. So, you know, we could go on and on and on with these different programs, but look at how Walmart has blossomed and just grown exponentially, and every single program and agency that the United States government has started is going in the tank.
Well, and this also goes back to our conversation about Medicare for All, Ron, that it is something to be very afraid of, because if you keep it in a capitalist mode where there's reward for people doing a good job, you're going to get this type of performance. When you put it under the government, you get the type of performance that you just talked about. There's just no question. There is not a federal agency that works well in our government that is not overspending, that is not going bankrupt, that does not have significant corruption problems. There just isn't one.
Well, yeah, and to me, there's a lot of reasons for that. And we could look at municipal, state, or federal government. And the people that we elect and put into power, you wouldn't even trust them to park your car or walk your dog. If you take a look at their private lives, they don't even have enough knowledge to balance a checkbook. And if you take a look, let's just take a look at one person. Let's take a look at Congressman Maxine Waters.
Oh, gosh.
Where did they put her? They put her on the United States Finance Commission. Okay? And she is a total train wreck. And there are always all sorts of allegations of corruption. I mean, here's a woman that earns what? Congresspeople earn about $135,000 a year, but yet she pays her daughter $600,000 a year. How does that work? Well, you know how it works. She has a campaign coffer of which is supposed to further her, and no, she turns it around and she furthers her daughter. You telling me there's not going to be a kickback with that? Take a look at Nancy Pelosi and all of her relatives. Take a look at her son that gets a $700 million contract from the United States government. How the heck does that happen?
Well, and the same thing will happen with the Medicare. So let's talk about something more fun.
Okay.
Because a couple of weeks ago, you and I had a conversation that I never really got to finish with you, but I want to just continue it a little bit at a time. And that is on the 2019 great gadgets that you can buy.
Oh, I love this conversation.
We talked about some that I really love and some that we've bought and some that I have the intent to buy. So here's just a few more because I think it's a fun conversation to have. So a lot of people have knee pain, like you, hip pain, those types of things, back pain, and a lot of times that's caused by your feet, right? So there is a new invention called Mind Insole, and it's an insole insert you can put into your shoes, as we've seen a lot of times, but this kind of massages your feet and reduces your back pain.
Is it electric or something? It's got like a battery thing to it?
No, not that I know of. It just seems to have, you know, I honestly don't know that. I can find out more about it.
Okay, because some of those things are electrical stimuli that goes up the legs and affects the nervous system and sort of knocks out the pain. In other words, it masks the pain so you can't feel it.
Okay. Well, that would be a good thing to have. This just seems to be something, you know, over the counter. So I tend to think it doesn't, but we'll take a look at it. Another one, you know, I mean, something that you really like is tactical flashlights. And tactical flashlights, there's a zillion of them out there.
I don't think a guy can have enough, as you know with me, can have enough tactical flashlights.
This one is called a TC1200 tactical flashlight. And you can drop this off a 300-foot building and let it fall to earth and it will not break.
It might kill somebody underneath, but it won't break. Good point, Linda.
It's got a huge amount of brightness in the light so that when you flash it around, I mean, you have this huge arc of light. And I like that. I don't like one that just shows me a little, you know, pinpoint in front of me. This really can show you. If you're standing out in front of your house, it's going to show your whole house.
Okay, so if you really loved me, and you know that I have a collection of tactical flashlights, this might be a birthday present, just saying, okay, for the future.
And since your birthday is no time soon, I guess I don't have to worry about that.
Well, no, but you'd have plenty of time to save up for it. Work with me.
I like this next one. This is another one that I'm going to buy. Never seen it before, but they're called Eco Green Charcoal Bags. And you know how sometimes because we have the Desi dog running around the house all the time, so the couch gets to smelling like a dog, the bedspread gets to smelling like a dog.
Linda, don't make these word pictures.
Well, this item is just a little bag of charcoal, and you hang it in the room where you have any type of an odor, and it absorbs it. And I love that because it's simple and you don't have to add some scent to cover up. It actually sucks that scent out.
Okay. Now, somebody's probably going to steal this from me, but I just came up with an invention.
Okay.
And I'll share it with you. Why don't we just cut to the chase and invent a dog collar that's activated charcoal and just make the dog wear the collar, and so all the odors from the dog get sucked out into the collar before it gets on the bed or before it gets on the couch. Just saying.
I'm speechless. I have nothing to say on that one.
And this is one of the many reasons why you're married to me, because I have these ideas.
And, you know, if I mentioned this one before, then just tell me, but I still like it. It's called Glow Bowl Fresh. Glow Bowl Fresh.
This is going to be something about a toilet, right?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. I knew it. Go ahead.
Speaking of air freshener, it's a light and an air freshener, so that if you have to get up in the middle of the night, your toilet bowl is going to glow. You can have it glowing green or blue or purple or whatever you choose, but you can see it so you don't miss it. And it's motion activated, so it.
What kind of motion?
Well,
what, like pulling out your junk and all of a sudden you set it off, or what?
I don't know exactly, but it's you're there, you stand in front of it, you sit on it, it's going to activate and give you some light.
Okay.
Okay. You're going to buy one of these for the house? I'm going to buy one for you. That's for your birthday.
Nobody's ever going to come and visit us again. We already sound kind of weird.
Oh, well, let's see if there's any other things that I haven't told you about for new things, because we did talk about that safe. That was good. There's another little one that I kind of like, and this is called a Heat Buddy. And this is you can hold it in your hand and say you're in the middle of the winter and you want to heat just a room that you're in. You can turn this on and it heats just that one area of the room that you're going to be using, but it's actually small enough to hold in your hand. I don't know if I
now,
would
see,
do it
I
while.
Like that.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
It's portable, so you can take it wherever
especially
you
if
want.
You have a big house and you're only sleeping in that one room. I think you could save a lot of money with that.
Yeah. So those are some of my gadgets for the day. There's a few that once we start using them, the ones that we've talked about that I want to buy, we'll see how they work and, you know, I'll let you know.
Well, that sounds great. Well, Linda, are you ready for some stupid news?
Stupid news, yep.
Okay, and you know me, it's going to be stupid police news. So anyway, in Manchester, England, we have a man by the name of Leslie McDonald. and it's a weird spelling name, but anyway, first of all, you know you're going to have problems all through life when your first name is Leslie. But anyway, so he orders a Big Mac and ends up getting a Big Mac with onions. Well, apparently he had told the people without onions, and now they brought him onions, and he's got a severe allergy to onions. So he starts yelling at the manager, gets into a fight with the manager, and then while this is taking place, he calls the police, which would be in Manchester, England, I'm assuming the Bobbies. So they show up, and they're, by the way, there's some drinking involved
here. I was just going to ask that question.
Okay. So, and by the way, it's England. Okay. So there's drinking involved. And so the police escort him out, and during the process, he spits in the officer's face. Okay. Then I believe he's escorted to the ground, whereupon he grabs on the officer's leg. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than this. Anyway, so they end up taking him to jail and, you know, without his McDonald's hamburger. So I just thought I'd share that with you, the different things that law enforcement people have to put up with when people call 911.
Well, there's another, I think, stupid bill telling us how to live our lives in Connecticut. So they have a proposed bill on the table that's going to completely remove sugary beverages from children's menus. This would be in any restaurant that they go in. They cannot get sugary drinks. So they are going to tell us now how to raise our kids and what we can give them and what we can't give them.
And what would be the penalties for that? Would that be something, somebody getting a ticket, someone going to jail?
Well, I don't think you're going to go to jail for that. But, you know, I really don't know how serious it would be if you're a restaurant and you choose to serve sugary drinks to kids.
And what town is that in?
It's in Connecticut.
Okay. And just kind of compare and contrast that to the city of San Francisco, where you can take a dump on the ground in broad daylight. And
somebody will be there to clean it up for you.
That's right. And you won't get a ticket whatsoever. Well, listen, I'm ready for bed after this coffee confrontation instead of conversation.
Well, I want to say one thing that warmed my heart this week. And that was, you know, at a school in Iowa, there's two schools there to play a basketball game. And they sing the national anthem ahead of time. They play the song. Well, the recording did not work. The entire crowd inside that gym, Ron, decided to do it themselves. And they sang that national anthem kind of like they did the Italian anthem when we were in Italy. It's just heartwarming. They didn't miss a note. They didn't miss a beat. They sang it at the top of their lungs. And that is where America's heart is.
And with that, I will make my leave and head over to bed.
Okay, good night.